Some of the other business functions are covered in an enterprise solution or bulleted below. HRMS, example, PeopleSoft is one example of HRMS. Financial accounting, one of the example is PeopleSoft or Oracle Financials. CRM, example, Siebel. Operational analytics, supply chain management, example, Oracle Suite is an example of supply chain management. These are some examples which we can see for each of the different solutions which we require. And if you can see, all these, each of these different ERP can be, enterprise solution can be part of a bigger ERP in a specific enterprise. Some of the other business functions and covered in an enterprise solution are bulleted below. Supplier relationship manager, relations management, again we are having Oracle Suite. Enterprise content management, we are having FileNet and Documentum, where in case you can have a workflow also in the system. Middleware and enterprise service bus, ESB, shortly called as ESB or UBS. There are some examples of Oracle and IBM's SOI Suite, JBoss. Other business functions are enterprise workflow, Oracle solutions, again IBM FileNet is also one workflow solution. Many Fortune 500 organizations are using custom built workflow systems using Oracle solutions. IBM FileNet is one more example. Master data management, example here are multiple products in master data management. Data warehouse, there are multiple and plenty of examples commonly used and mostly used are Teradata, IBM, Oracle, Sybase and EMC GreenPlum. Analytics and BI in reports, there are examples are Informatica, Cognos, Crystal Reports, still a very effective and widely used tools, in which case Crystal Reports, you will be in a position to, the end user will be in a position to take a report without the help of a programmer. Corporate Treasury, there are some examples of SunGuard, HandSarga, Swift, FTA, Billin, portals, intranet, extranet, self-service, delivery channels that integrate through the ESP, gateways for SMS payment. Today you go and do a transaction from a retail person. I mean, you are going to go and purchase something from Reliance Mart or DMart. A transaction happens. This also is part of the gateway for SMS payment. This also is part of the enterprise solution of the end user, end enterprise. Apart from these particular things, there are multiple other applications that are built around this particular enterprise business solution, which are partner applications. For example, an insurance company will have integration with car manufacturers, rental companies and automobile database such as Chrome, CarBook, etc. So that they will be in the position to cover up the more products. So today you may go into a bank and they will be selling some insurance product. Where what will happen is that they are having a tie-up with an insurance company and they do the insurance based on the tie-up which they are having the insurance company. There will also be multiple small applications that are custom built and cannot be replaced. These enhance the functionalities of many of the packaged products and cannot be discarded. So there could be multiple small applications that are required to run your enterprise solution in a proper manner. And this could be custom built and which cannot be removed immediately. This or your core solution may not be requiring this particular thing, but for an enterprise solution level, they require this particular solution. Major software vendors such as SAP, Oracle, IBM, Infosys provide multiple products for all the enterprise business functions. SAP provides integrated suite of ERP modules for all functions. It's a one-stop shop, which includes retail and corporate banking also is there. Insurance is also there, treasury products are there. So SAP integrates the various modules through its own ESB and workflow systems. So they are having their own ESB and they are having their own workflow solutions. In addition to that, you can have your own other workflow system and can be integrated easily with your SAP. However, an Oracle and IBM provide very unbundled solutions which can be integrated with products from various other vendors. So that is a difference you can see from SAP and Oracle or IBM. When SAP, we are saying that we are having only their only application that can be executed. But in case of Oracle and IBM, they can be multiple, they can integrate with multiple solutions also. Most Fortune 500 organizations and large corporates tend to deploy a mix of products from various vendors, best of breed solutions as such. Implementations are known. So if you go into multiple large corporates, they are having mix of products and there could be multiple software that are running, multiple vendors that are be there, and all these particular vendors will be working together for a single ERP. On the contrary, legacy systems written in old time 3GL such as COBOL, PL1, Assembler continue to be in use, not likely to sunset. So, still there are multiple things that are very strong in their solution are COBOL, PL1 and Assembler. One more important thing is mainframe. The trend is to have the data layer and business layers on a mainframe in Java based presentation. Service integrated by workflow and SOA, ESB middleware. So today, if you see, still there are multiple banks in multiple organizations in America still use mainframe, which is the very old of the systems, but still they are in a position to do a transaction, their upgrades properly without any issue. So that is a strength of mainframe, which is a backend solution that is there. Databases, the most popular and most implemented is IBM, which is nothing but DB2. This still it's most popular, but in India, mostly people use is Oracle because of the scalability and because of the strength of the solution to integrate with other solutions. Fortune 500 organizations also tend to have multiple software services in the same business function. Example, in insurance companies, it is common to have closed book policies on systems of the 1980 with more than two or more policy administrative systems integrated. So, there is a need for Fortune 500 or insurance companies or a banking system to integrate with multiple solutions. And it could be a single same business function. They could be using multiple solutions for that. A manufacturing organization should have two sets of ERP systems or shop floor control modules for the new parts, shops and services shop. So there could be multiple systems and there could be integrated for the same business function. New age or older trend in India to go in for packaged application software integrated into enterprise solutions. So common practice in India is that they go in for new age or older solutions to ensure that package, the entire application has to be there in a package solution. That is how Indian companies look for any software. They don't want to have multiple softwares, multiple vendors in the current scenario. They want to have a single application which can have all the other things which in a single enterprise solutions. The philosophy is of one of no custom built applications. So it is like I don't want to do multiple customization for multiple applications. I'll do a solution in a single solution, single software, single vendor. So there are many other software components that go for to complete an enterprise solution. For small and enterprise or large enterprises, we have given some examples here. Wide area network or LANs, in which case you will be connecting with multiple other locations also. Mass storage devices, data centers, primary and multiple sites of disaster recovery centers. So there could be multiple disaster recovery center also, and near recovery center also you can have, where in case something goes wrong with the entire system, entire area, you will be in a position to run the entire show from some other site. Unified communication, an essential feature of making your office work smooth. So there could be a single communication channel which will be in the entire enterprise. Below is a typical enterprise solution architecture for a typical Indian financial services or corporation. It is said that the best way to learn swimming is to be thrown into a deeper pool. So, with all learning, you will notice most components of an enterprise solution that have been discussed above. So, we'll discuss about how exactly a typical enterprise solution architecture for an Indian bank is there. Indian financial corporation is going to be there. So in India, how they decide on enterprise application or enterprise architecture is to find out how exactly and learn from the mistakes they had done. So it is like we usually say, it is said that the best way to learn swimming is to be thrown into the deep of the pool, with all learning. So how they identify, so they do a trial and error, find out what is the mistake they have done and rectify in the future. So that's how Indian enterprises are growing, learning and proceeding further, progressing. And if you see today, India is challenging in all ways to the external world also. You will notice that most components of an enterprise solution that have been. So there are, let us take an example. There are two applications that support the core business function of this company, of a company, has been denoted as core FS ERP, essentially an ERP. In this case, it would be a financial service product. Example, let us take an example of financial service product. If this company were to be a bank, then ERPs would be core banking products, okay, one for retail banking, another for corporate bank. Like we said, retail banking requirement is different, corporate banking requirement is different, and there could be a possibility that there could be multiple core banking products they are having, or there could be a single product they are having. So in the future, in the next chapters that we are going to cover in this particular book, we'll be covering all aspects of IT that go to make an enterprise solution. What are the things, multiple aspects that are there for an, in from the IT perspective, we'll look into this in this book. We deal with the IT from a management's point of view, from IT manager's point of view, dealing with technology without immersing in it. Okay, we'll not be going too deep into that management point of view, but we'll do a bird's eye view on what exactly is happening from the IT perspective, IT manager's perspective. We'll discuss software products from a functional point of view, selection criteria for products, how they select the vendor, how they select the product, how they select this thing, how they are identifying what are the relative strengths, what is the view from the analyst on products and the industry, how they identify a product, how they select a product, how they proceed further, how they identify the strengths and weaknesses of the product, we will see in this particular discussion, particular book. This completes, with this, we come to an end for the finding out what are the complexity and business of enterprise solutions. Next, we will be looking at what exactly is a platform business model and how exactly it has progressed, how, what is the importance of this particular platform business model in today's world. The internet age of today has brought about another categorization of business, which is nothing but platform-based business and a platform business model. So, earlier we were discussing about enterprise, today now we are going to discuss about platform-based business. So, where there could be multiple vendors, multiple people, multiple products, multiple enterprises, and all these particular products and enterprises are selling one single product. So, how this particular thing is going to be sold, how this is going to be handled, is we are going to look into. So today's internet age ensures that this particular thing also happens. The linear business models that we traditionally operated create goods and services, but then put out into the market and sell to customers. Values produced upstream and consumed downstream. So earlier there will be retail shops that are opened across the entire places, and the organization was handling through these particular retail stores they are having. Today, a platform may be defined as a meta-organization that molds structures, shaping them into a matrix or a network, but on a highly volatile basis. Essentially, the networked business models of today's internet age are termed as platforms. Today, it has become platform model rather than enterprise based model. Take an example of Sony TV or Samsung TV. This can be purchased today from a retail place, or from a dealership, or from a place like Amazon, or from Flipkart. This is a business model that creates value by facilitating business transition between multiple interdependent groups through digital transformation. So digital transformation started happening, and multiple companies like Sony or Samsung, there is no need that they should have a dealership shop at the entire place. And there are cases, there are mobiles that are available only purely in digital form and not in the specific. You cannot go and purchase from a retail shop. To make these exchanges happen, platforms harness and create large scalable networks of users and resources that can be accessed on demand. So then these platforms start using artificial intelligence, finding out what exactly is a demand, what exactly is a requirement of the customer, and the same feedback is being given to the suppliers and manufacturers, and this feedback is getting evolving continuously, and a person is going to be decided and defined to and give suggestions based on what exactly he has purchased earlier, what exactly is his thought process, what exactly he has googled earlier. Based on this particular thing, the suggestions started coming. They create communities and markets that facilitate users to interact and transact business. This has become the predominant business model of the 21st century. You may feel that tomorrow, after some time, you may not be having multiple shops that are opened across the entire country, but you will be having multiple places where people will be doing through internet only. There are three essential elements in a platform business model. First is an infrastructure that creates the connectors for people or business that plug into the platform. So people like mobile bank, you can use internet website. So this infrastructure that is getting created for people to do business. Then there is that magnetic element that generates a pull factor to attract participants to the platform. So you are having a platform, now you have to have a magnetic element which pulls the people, like offering discounts, which is going to be better than what you are going to purchase from the external people, and ease of doing a transaction. The third element is a data element that successfully matches the needs of the players on the platform. Like we said, this is a key differentiator between the platform model and the traditional business models. Like we said, how you are going to find out what exactly is the person thinking, cognitive analysis, what exactly is the need for the person today. Okay, example, you go and do some transaction for Apollo Pharmacy in mobile app. You may be having some suggestion that is coming, that is popping up in some other thing. This is finding out what exactly is a person requires and how exactly the business that user transacts. The platform business model operates by bringing together capability of network infrastructure, collective intelligence, content, and a self-improving system facilitated by networking, which is called as an artificial intelligence machine learning. System constantly evolves. Platform businesses like Uber or Alibaba do not directly create and control inventory via supply chain the way traditional linear business do. They don't own the means of production. They create the means of connection and doing business. So, ensures that the platform business ensures, like we have seen, Uber and Alibaba or Amazon in this case also, it will not directly create or control inventory. They don't have any inventory in their hand, but ensures that the things are getting delivered properly on time. They way leveraging connected technology, the platform ecosystems enable platforms are able to scale in ways that traditional business cannot, and thereby reduce transaction costs and enable externalized innovation. Like example, when you are going to talk about Amazon or Flipkart or Uber, they don't need a place to operate. There is no need that they have to create a shop to work from. Instead of that, they are going to work the entire thing through a website, through an internet, through a backend software which runs the entire show. By this, they are avoiding the infrastructure costs, AC costs, or whatever lightning costs, employee costs. All these are getting reduced by this kind of innovation. But when we are considering about all these things, what a platform is not. A platform is a business model, not just a piece of technology. It is a total model is getting covered under a platform. The common mistake is confusing a platform with a mobile app or a website. That is a mistake which users commonly use, but it is a model. It is not a business model. It is not only mobile app or website, but entire model is considered as a platform. It's not just a piece of software. There are multiple things that are getting involved in the software. In a platform. It is a holistic business model that creates value by bringing together consumers and producers. One side you are having consumer, other side you are having producer. Both these things are combined together in a platform to ensure that the consumer gets a better deal. It is also not an integrated suite of software products such as SaaS or PaaS. These SaaS, PaaS perform product as a system and software as a solution. Business are still traditional linear business. So it has evolved from SaaS or PaaS. Platform business model, a disruptive force. In the 21st century, supply chain is not the aggregator of business value. What a company wants matters less than the wide user base it can connect to. So in the today's world, supply chain just is not only on the aggregator, but it is purely based on the what exactly the company can offer and how much wide user base they can connect to. This is why the platform business model has become such a disruptive force. Today, people have become so lazy that they don't want to walk into the next shop also. Everything becomes online. So, platform business model helps to ensure that the customer gets what he requires at the specific place where he's sitting and doing an operation from. Platform business model, a disruptive force. Okay, why we are calling platform business model as disruptive force, let us look into. It was the service industries that took off on the platform model first and benefited most. Some of these are airlines, transportation, hotel, restaurant, and online gaming industry. These were started with this beginning. All these people started going into platform business, and slowly other things started coming to picture. Retail came in with Amazon, making huge revenues and growing exponentially by developing an open platform that supports the community of companies that reuse Amazon's on-demand commerce service. Think about Amazon maybe having a warehouse which consists of all the products from multiple organizations, multiple enterprises. They may be selling through Amazon, and they'll be having a big, huge warehouses where the entire goods come and do a transaction. In the traditional business model, each company was having a different warehouse, and that much inventory was getting stored there for selling the entire thing. So what the risk was being held by the organization at every point of time. Today, the entire thing has changed. It is depending on the based on the demand and supply that is happening, going to happen. Many corporations, particularly in the retail sector, are moving from the traditional to the platform model. Today, most of the people have, most of the organization, the retail sector, as many corporations has moved from the normal traditional and the, to the platform model. Today, you may be having DMart, which is going to have a small app through which you can do a transaction also. So each and everything has moved towards a platform model today. This is obviously leading to a huge disruption to the entire enterprises industries. For example, while Walmart has successfully integrated traditional and platform models, forcing others. We saw Mackey store sales go down and forced to change to survey. So today, if you see, there are multiple shops or small shops that are trying hard to survive and be in the industry. What we'll discuss in the next chapters, we will be discussing about the enterprise solution products and technologies and enterprise architectures that are and how they fit into running a business or corporation or an enterprise. How these particular things help the enterprise to work successfully, we will be looking at the next chapters. These are to be understood both in the context of traditional linear business models as well as the platform model. So the learners should have these particular things into consideration, how this is going to help in linear business and how this is going to help in the platform business. Thank you, and let us again meet in the next chapter.